Good evening, I'm Christian Esguera, and welcome to this episode of After the Fact, where we get to see things more clearly, where we get a better sense of the truth. So let's start by dissecting the news. Health Secretary Francisco Duque III appeared at a House hearing earlier this week, pouring his heart out over a commission and audit report. The COA flagged deficiencies in some 67 billion pesos in funds allotted to the DOH for its COVID-19 response. Critical items such as the purchase of face masks and allowances for medical frontliners. But Duque questioned why the COA made the findings public, even if the report was clearly part of its mandate. His words, the COA findings destroyed the DOH. But the Filipino term used was far more colorful. Tonight, we'll go deep into the COA findings and why the DOH needs to answer the issues squarely. Be part of our discussion. Send us your questions and comments on our YouTube live chat or tweet us using the hashtag ANCAfterThePact. Joining us tonight, former Health Secretary Esperanza Cabral. Also with us is Dr. Tony Lechon. He's the chairman of the group Kilusan Contra COVID. He's also a former advisor to the government's pandemic task force. Good evening and welcome to the program. Okay, I'd like to start with Secretary Esperanza Cabral. You were part of the DOH before. You were the health secretary before. Let's talk about these current issues being thrown against the department, in particular, the findings by COA that there were deficiencies in the allotment of 67 billion pesos to the DOH. What do you think of the response that those findings got from the Secretary of Health? He said, winarak nyo ang DOH.
Good evening, Christian. Well, I think that it affected him too much. So that was the reaction that came out. It was just a report. The COA produces reports for all of the government agencies that it audits. And really what needs to be done is to answer the opinions and the observations that are put in that particular report. Kumbaga, sa Tagalog, ay trabaho lang.
Mm-hmm. Did you encounter similar reports before when you were with the DOH? Yung merong findings ng COA and then deficiencies yung lumabas, then of course, you were given the opportunity to respond.
Yes, all of the agencies of government have reports like that. Sometimes it is adverse, and you have to respond to the adverse opinions that they have there. In a few times, there are no adverse reactions, but commonly there is an adverse report in the COA annual consolidated report. And you just have to answer what they have put down there.
Okay, but talking about the deficiencies identified by the COA, how serious are they?
Well, we're talking of really big amounts of money. 67 billion is nothing to scoff at. So I think that is part of the reason why the issue became so big, because the money involved was so big. It's because the budget of the Department of Health has really grown a lot over the past decade, let's put it that way, because when I was secretary, the budget was nowhere near, maybe just one third or one fourth of whatever it is they have now.
Okay, Dr. Tony, give us a sense of that kind of response that the COA findings got from the Secretary of Health, because in the first place, correct me if I'm wrong, there was no imputation of corruption, right? Binanggit sa report deficiencies, at sinabi ko ano yung mga kakulangan at kung ano yung mga dapat gawin. But what do you make of the response that those findings got?
Well, I'm surprised with the response of the secretary, because the secretary has been in public office for almost 2 decades, no? And twice as Secretary of Health, and twice, of course, as chairman of the board ng PhilHealth. And then naging PhilHealth president siya, naging GSIS president, naging civil service commissioner. So alam niya ang audit. In fact, in PhilHealth, when I was independent director of PhilHealth, may resident auditor ang COA na nandun. And then may internal audit din ang PhilHealth. So this is nothing new na lahat halos na ng board nakakatanggap ng mga ganitong klaseng audit. And then you just have to respond to it. And then wala namang imputations about corruption. And this is just a normal process. So I'm sure for two decades, alam niyo ito. And basically the reason for that is because the PhilHealth is one of the biggest agencies providing funds for the patients. And then look at the long history then of alleged corruption in that particular organization. If you remember the IRM, the 15 billion related to the COVID, there was an investigation for that. And then, of course, the investigation on the price also of the vaccines, if you remember as well. And so I'm sure all of these are basically not new to the Department of Health. And in the time of crisis, when the biggest chunk of the budget will be actually allocated for the Department of Health, then accountability should be one of the most important things here. And then governance, as well as transparency, because these are not ordinary times. Eh. Pangalawa, Christian, alam mo yung budget ng Department of Health. Na tama si Secretary Cabral, because when I started my advocacy, naabutan ko si Secretary Cabral as the outgoing Secretary of Health. And I think the budget then was about almost 50 billion. With the syntax funds, na quadruple yan eh. So the primary job of the independent director noon was to safeguard the public funds. Not only public funds, but also well as the processes as well as risk management. So basically, that's my take on that. And I think there's no reason for the secretary to hurl those kind of invectives as well as accusation to the COA, because it's just a normal process. Kumbaga, walang personalan, talagang trabaho lang po.
Okay. Secretary Cabral, Dr. Tony Lechon mentioned that these are extraordinary times. We're not living under normal conditions because of the pandemic. In a way, as I see it, no, hindi naman kasi sinabi pa na ninakaw yung pera. Ang maliwanag doon, may napakalaking chunk ng pondo na hindi nagastos o hindi napunta doon sa dapat puntahan. Which in itself is very problematic kasi nga, we're talking for example of medical frontliners who are supposed to receive allowances and other benefits, di ba? Pero I'd like to go to the issue of absorptive capacity. Hindi ba to clearly a problem of organization, of protocols, if not red tape, or absorptive capacity at the DOH?
Yeah, that is correct, Christian. What has happened is, in the past, the problem of the Department of Health was lack of funds. Okay, they have a lot of things that they need to do. They did not have the money. These days, the problem is how to use the funds that they already have, because now they certainly have the funds, and so they must use it wisely. But one of the things that needs to happen is, as you provide funds to an agency, you must also build the capacity of that agency to use the money wisely. And I think that is where we are lacking in this particular instance. And it's not just in the Department of Health, but in other agencies that are now getting a lot of money because I guess the economy has improved somewhat, or maybe the value of money has gone down and stuff like that. So the fact is they now have a lot of money, but the capacity to use that money properly and on a timely basis is not as good as it should be.
Okay, but Secretary, help us understand that. As mentioned by Dr. Tony, Secretary Duque has been in this position. This is his second stint as Health Secretary, the first under Gloria Macapagal Arroyo. We understand we are in a pandemic, but specifically, what's so difficult about downloading funds to private hospitals? What's so difficult about purchasing face masks at that time? In reality, based on your experience, ganun ba talaga kahirap to execute these specific programs or projects?
Hindi. Kailangan lamang ay, kunyari, yung pagbibigay ng pera sa nurses and other healthcare workers, ay nandun yung proseso kaagad. kailangan bilisan lang ang trabaho. Yun namang pagbili ng face mask at saka face shields, eh madali lang yun. Matagal naman na silang namimili ng kung ano-ano bagay tungkol sa medical supplies. So, dapat ay alam nila kung paano ang bumili. Dapat ay alam nila kung magkano ang presyo sa merkado ng face shield at face mask. Pumunta ka lang dun sa labas ng DOH, may nagtitinda dun ng face mask at saka face shield. At yung face shield dun ay 10 piso lang.
Okay, binanggit niyo yung presyo ng face mask at face shield. No? I'd like to ask Dr. Tony, hindi ba unfair naman na sabihin agad na may corruption dito? Kasi ang binanggit ng COA, yung face masks were sold at 27 pesos each, face shields 122. Mukha talaga siyang mahal if we base those figures on their current market value. Pero during the time when they were purchased, is that a fair perspective?
Well, at the time, nandun pa ako actually. Nasa National Task Force pa ako. And of course, out of exigency, talaga magpo-purchase ka nun. But ano, every quarter naman, you should evaluate kasi the law of supply and demand. And I think for the first quarter lang of the after the March 15 imposition of the ECQ, doon lang may problema ka sa supply. But nag-stabilize siya after one quarter. Diba? Kasi diba, you need the ECQ imposition of the ECQ to buy time the healthcare capacities, the PSN. Kasi ang gusto kong sabihin, Christian, dito, ability is not only the things that you can do, but the things that you will not do. And one of these is the unobligated funds for the healthcare workers na nakalimutan natin. So therefore, dapat may blueprint ka. You should put your money where your mouth is. So ngayon, I think this COA issue and the heightened response of the public towards this is a silver lining para makita talaga kung paano gagastos yun ng pera. So nakikita natin, maraming yung 45 billion na pumunta sa procurement services ng DBM and naisip ang face mask at saka face shield. Pero ang kakulangan natin sa pandemya ay hindi masagot yung sa testings. Yan ang testing ang dapat iniintindi. Dapat libre yan. Yung contact tracings, dapat maayos yan. Dapat yung SRA as well as the benefits for the healthcare workers, dapat inaayos yan. Kasi yan ang driver of the particular pandemic. Eh. Ngayon, kung wala kang template, wala kang blueprint, at hindi mo nilagyan ng money, just basically simple project management. Eh. So, gagastos ka ng mga bagay-bagay sa things na hindi nagmamatter. And then the last one is procurement of the vaccines. Kasi may code lang naman yan, TTIQB, testing, tracing, isolation, quarantine, and vaccines. And then lagyan mo lang ng public awareness campaign and then human resources. That is the whole template of your program. Then lagyan mo ng pera siya. So nakikita natin, even with enormous amount of money, hindi natin nasosolve ang problema because we don't know how to put money on the things that would really matter for ending the pandemic.
So you're still seeing a prioritization problem at this stage during the pandemic response of the national government? Mukhang ganun lumalabas, Dr. Tony?
Yes, kasi dapat yan, ang goals at saka blueprint ng pandemic response at ginagawa naman namin yan during our time, quarterly, ni-re-evaluate mo. Kasi dynamic kasi ang changes at ang pagbabago. Katulad ngayon, may pumasok na Delta variant. Yun kayang March 15 na blueprint mo during the time with the Chinese Wuhan strain. Relevant pa kaya ngayon? The vaccines that we ordered before, relevant pa ba ngayon yun? So dapat magbabago din ang problem mo. So kung ang bakuna mong binili at ang test mo na kailangan, dadagdagan mo yun. So dapat okay. Iba yung magiging priority mo pagkaganon.
Okay. Secretary Cabral, this is not the first time that certain politicians and even in social media, there's been a strong demand for the resignation of Secretary Duque. But of course, we've heard time and again how the president has responded to these calls. What do you think? Do you think it's really time for the president to let go of Secretary Duque?
Well, I think we discussed this last year, more than a year ago, when they first started to call for the resignation of Secretary Duque. And at that time, I said, depende yon sa limits ng delikadesa ng appointee at depende rin yon sa limits ng tolerance ng appointing power dun sa nangyayari. And it's still the same up to now because this is just the business of the appointee and the appointing power. Whatever it is we say, it is they only who can act on it. I can have an opinion about it, and Tony can have an opinion about it, but it doesn't really matter. We already know what the president wants to do or does not want to do.
But I'm still curious about your own opinion about this, Secretary Cabral.
Well, I think my limit of delicadeza is a little lower than the limit of delicadeza of the incumbent.
Okay, so meaning?
Meaning I would probably have resigned a long time ago.
Okay. You mentioned the limits of the delicadeza of the appointee and the limits of tolerance of the appointing power. That's true. Whatever we say, whatever we do, whatever critics say, it's up to the president really, and it's up to the Secretary of Health. But in the meantime, whatever they do or refuse to do would have real impact on the people, including ourselves. I think we can agree on that, right?
Yes, of course.
Of course, of course.
Okay, Dr. Tony, of course, again, we've heard what the president said even before Secretary Duque said recently that he had actually tendered his resignation repeatedly. Even before he said that, the president said, if Secretary Duque would resign, I would not accept it. What do you make of that? Why do you think the president at this time still refuses to let go of Secretary Duque, even if Secretary Duque himself had said he had resigned repeatedly?
Well, I think the president has complete trust of the has complete trust on Secretary Duque, regardless of the accusations, regardless of all the things na hurled at saka accused of Secretary Duque. Pero alam naman natin na there has been already a long string of investigations, no, sa Senate siguro dalawa, and even the Senate of the whole, if you remember, requested for the resignation of Secretary Duque. Several other organizations, and even if you look at the social media, siguro 99% would call for the ouster. Eh. Pero alam mo, sabi nga nila, the appointing authority naka-rest yun eh. Diba? But I think that particular freedom to appoint, meron siyang limit eh. May limit siya if that is hurting already the people. And imaginein mo, Christian, Secretary Duque has huge responsibility. Number one, he is the IATF chair. Number two, he is the Secretary of Health. Number three, he is the Chairman of the Board of the PhilHealth. Lahat yung tatlong yan may problema. You have a failure in leadership of the IATF pandemic response. Number two, you have...
Hey, Doc, before you proceed, I don't want to let go of this particular point that you mentioned. Nung pa gusto itanong ko sa inyo, you serve as an advisor to the Task Force Against COVID-19. I spoke with some people who were also familiar with the internal moves or actions within the NPF and the IATF. I was told na even if that is the position of the Secretary of Health, he's not exactly the most powerful there. Is that true?
Well, I think during my time, I think it's the most powerful because my ouster was secondary to the pressure nabanggit ko na yan of the Secretary of Health and the presidential spokesperson because I was trying to be transparent about the communications. Eh.
That was your case. So you were saying your removal from that position was driven by pressure coming from Secretary Duque. Nabanggit niyo na yan before, di ba? Pero ang tanong ko, into other decisions, yung mostly decisions by the IATF, siya ba talaga yung pinapakinggan ng Pangulo? or someone else?
Well, I think it's a consolidated effort, but it's a balance eh. Pero most of the time, ang pinapakinggan ng Pangulo, sa tingin ko, is the Secretary of Health with pressure from the economic managers. That's my perception of all the things na nangyayari. Ang laki kasi ng responsibility, IATF chair, and then DOH secretary and chairman of the board. And everybody, pagka related to health related, kay Secretary Duque, dinidefer nila lahat kay Secretary Duque. So ganun lang yun. So I have moved on that. Ang sinasabi ko lang ngayon, baka this is the perfect time for the president to reconsider it. Kasi dati sinabi ko yan eh, and I was asked several times here, diba sabi natin you don't change horses in midstream. But I think there's a point right now, and there's no wrong time to do the right thing kung kailangan. You have still 8-9 solid months para ma-end natin ang pandemic and perhaps a press mandate. And then a new leader coming out of the Department of Health can help us resolve this particular impasse or crisis.
Okay. Secretary Cabral, according to Secretary Duque, he had repeatedly tendered this resignation. But again, the president didn't want to let him go. The president has his own reasons. He is the president, so he's entitled to that. But as a former cabinet secretary, is there such a thing, you think, as irrevocable resignation? Kung talagang ayaw niya na, in your case, for instance, pwede ba talaga kayo lumayas na?
Oh, of course. Yes, of course. Nobody can force you to do something that you do not want to do anymore. You simply have to not report for work. There are other people who can be appointed to be officers in charge when you are not there.
Okay, but won't that do more harm than good since we are still in the middle of a pandemic?
Well, you know this thing about changing horses in midstream. That was the argument last year when Secretary Duque's resignation was being called for. Some groups said, no, we should not do that. We should not change horses in midstream. Well, it turns out that was not midstream. In fact, we were just starting to go into the stream. And who knows what it is as far as the stream is concerned today. Maybe we have a pandemic for the next 3 or 4 years. But we don't really know.
Okay. Siguro, let's also take this opportunity. We're still in an ACQ here in Metro Manila. And by Friday, we would know whether that would be extended or lifted. But in the meantime, we've been in this situation for more than a year. How would you assess the performance of the DOH as a department and Secretary Duque as the head of that department, Secretary Cabral?
Well, I always say that I'm sure the Department of Health is doing its best, but at the moment, the best is not good enough still. There are so many missed opportunities, as the COA puts it, that they could have taken to improve the healthcare system and therefore to reduce the effect of our health interventions on our economy. But it just has not been done. What happens is when there is a surge, everybody gets upset, agitated. They will do this, they will do that. When the surge goes down, then people start to relax. In fact, when the surge is down is when they should be working hard so that when the next surge comes, they are ready for it.
I remember this conversation that we had last year. We pointed out the same issues.
Yeah.
What they had to do during a lockdown to make sure that we won't be falling into this cycle over and over again. Well,
yes.
Surprise, surprise, we're back.
Still the same.
In a lockdown. But to be fair to the government, this is very difficult, definitely. As they say, there's no playbook to dealing with this kind of pandemic. But this time, during this specific lockdown, are you seeing more promising signs or signals that perhaps the national government in particular has shown more resolve to make sure that there would be better results?
Well, what I've seen is that the ECQ today is not the same ECQ as it was before. People are actually ignoring a lot of the prohibitions that the ECQ carries. And the implementers of the ECQ are also ignoring the fact that the people are ignoring these particular requirements. If we talk of the health system, what we can see is the same. The surge last, when was this? April and May. And now there are again people parked in their cars waiting to be seen in the emergency room of hospitals. And it does not look that bad because many of these things are happening not in NCR, but in other regions where the news is not as fast to travel as it does in NCR. So, you know, you see these things in Cagayan de Oro or in Cebu, whereas before you only saw this in NCR because now the COVID-19 virus has spread from NCR to the rest of the country.
Hmm. So we're getting threats from all over, from many other areas outside of Metro Manila. This is very much different compared to the situation that we had before because of the Delta variant, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Dr. Tony, based on the numbers that we're seeing, do you think the ECQ, the current ECQ is actually working?
I don't think it's working right now. As mentioned by Secretary Cabral, the ECQ, the last 3 months, including the April, May, or the March-April surge, hindi kasing higpit nung imposition ng ECQ ng March 15. Talaga nun, talaga walang lumalabas. But right ngayon, sa dami ng lumalabas, and you have a highly transmissible variant na Delta, tinan mo, Christian, August 19 ngayon, almost 15,000 yung cases natin today, 14,895. Konti na lang yun, that is the peak of the April surge. Mas handa tayo dapat ngayon. Tapos ang ating positivity rate, 24%. Ibig sabihin, 1 in every 4. Ang testings natin, hindi tayo natututo. Laging sinasabi, dapat double na yan. Pero ngayon, 59,000 lang. Tapos ang hospital natin, ang healthcare utilization, puno din ang national, puno din ang NCR. Dati NCR lang ang iniisip natin. So we're not ready really. Kaya lang, ang sabi ng NEDA, 150 billion na nawawala sa atin kada linggo. So yun ang pressure niya sa economic managers. Kaya ang nakita ko kaninang news, si MMDA Chair Benher Abalos, dinefer na to IATF ang decision. Because yung kulatilian niyan 2 weeks ago, they're willing, the private sector has stepped up to help at pumayag sila for the preemptive ECQ on the premise that they would provide ayuda, they would provide 4 million vaccines, and they would do testings and all. Pero naubos yung ayuda, tapos yung testings ganun pa rin, ang contact tracing hindi pa na-correct. So if the MMDA chair with the mayors, sinabi to, kasi they cannot overpromise to the citizens kasi they hahanapan sila ng ayuda. And therefore, dinefer nila yung sa IATF so that the president can decide on where to get the money. Kasi ang basically yung problem na dito is the ayuda. Ang problema lang natin, if we slide down to the MECQ in a situation na rapidly transmissible itong variant natin and the vaccination is not in the full swing, hindi katulad in other countries, then we might actually experience here the true surge na ayaw natin mangyari. Kasi ang projections ngayon, no, nakikita ko, may mga projections na nakita ko sa dyaryo, if you remember, ang DOH, Epidemiological Bureau, even on an ECQ ng Philippines, sa end of September, pwede daw tayo mag 30,000. That's really scary kung yan ang trending natin. So, yung decision ng presidente tomorrow will be important to me, whether ECQ, but it has to build up the healthcare capacity so that kung two weeks yan, so that we can move on na maayos natin na last quarter to reach the herd immunity by December 2021.
Okay. Welcome back to After the Fact. We're still joined by former Health Secretary Esperanza Cabral and Dr. Tony Lechon, a former advisor to the Philippine Task Force Against COVID-19. At this point, I'd like to ask Secretary Cabral, we're nearing the end of the two-week lockdown imposed by the national government here in Metro Manila. And you know that the president is going to decide soon, before Friday, hopefully. But based on your assessment with the numbers that we're seeing now, with the healthcare capacity that we have now, would it be wise to lift the ECQ or would it be better to perhaps extend it a bit?
Well, if we are only concerned with the health conditions in the country, it is going to be better to extend it. But I'm aware that our people are suffering socioeconomically, and this has to be factored into the decision. So if the president decides that he will extend the ECQ for maybe 1 or 2 weeks, that's going to be fine. They should use the Department of Health and the rest of the healthcare system, even the private sector, should use this time to prepare themselves some more. But if the president says that he will not extend, I hope what he does is institute good granular lockdowns where there are cases that need to be quarantined and isolated.
Okay. Again, this seems to be a recording already. We've had a previous conversation. In dapat ginagawa pag may lockdown to allow the system to breathe, but in the meantime, you build the capacity, you further capacitate the healthcare system. Ito muna, very specifically, Secretary Cabral, what do you think is the reason why the government can't meet the ideal target of, in terms of testing, at least 100 to 120,000 tests per day? Kanina sinabi rin Dr. Tony, nasa 59,000. And then on August 17, nasa 57,479 now.
The tests are a function not just of the public healthcare system, but of the private healthcare system, because people have to pay for the tests. So that is a function of the affordability of the test for a lot of people. There are some tests that are paid for by PhilHealth, but most of the tests are not. So that is something that needs to be looked at. If we really want to ramp up the number of tests so that we can have a better picture of where COVID-19 is at this point, then we are going to have to fund testing. So that's one.
Okay. At this point, I'd like to go to the issue of vaccination. The current numbers are 12.7 million fully vaccinated Filipinos, representing 11.8%. Medyo malayo pa rin tayo rin sa ideal figure or number that we need to be able to hit herd immunity. But first, I'd like to ask Dr. Tony Lechon, how much of the vaccination effort by the national government do you think is still getting affected by this anti-vax campaign coming from certain sectors, from certain politicians, perhaps even abetted or promoted by certain members of the media?
Alam mo, it's a huge problem, Christian. Before, I didn't believe that it will actually be an organized group na akala ko just they're promoting one product, but yun pala linked to the anti-vaccination effort. Alam mo, to start with, ang taas ng vaccination hesitancy natin. Nakadalawa na tayo, tatlong survey, 6 out of 10. And mainly, nangyari pa itong controversy on the anti-vaccine effort during the time that we need really to complete yung vaccination program. So that sa last quarter natin, di ba ang kasunduan magla-lockdown ngayon, because the business is actually slow during the third quarter of the year, and sa fourth quarter, dun kailangan. So, anong nangyari? Sinabayan pa to ng anti-vaccine movement, and you can see organized yan because they're present not only in social media but in mainstream media and supported by legislators pa. And ang nangyari ngayon, hindi alam kung ng mga tao kung ano ang susundin. And when you see also your colleagues talking about this particular anti-vaccine efforts, lalong bababa ngayon ang vaccine acceptance natin at the time na kailangan natin ito. So it's really sad, no? Ang kailangan lang ngayon sa akin, erase natin ang voice natin so that we will not sabotage the national vaccine program. Kasi unang-una, ang vaccination program is important to reach the people protection. 50% na nga lang hinihingi for the NCR bubble, then herd immunity, then reopen the economy, and then after that, bring back our lives to normalcy. Pero nakikita ko, Christian, with this kind of situation, dapat dito, the president should actually move right now to nip it in the bud. Hindi na ito pwede. In the time of challenge ngayon, though they have freedom of expression, but there's limit to freedom of expression. When you actually mislead people and hurt people, that's not actually the right thing to do. You have all the things in the world that pwede mo sabihin, but not at the time that we are in crisis, when there's a leadership problem also at the level of the DOH. And then here you are, another group, trying to sabotage the efforts of the government. Sayang lahat ng ginagawa ng ating government in order to finish yung ating timeline of December 2021.
Okay. Secretary Cablar, we know that during health crisis, during a pandemic, public messaging is very important, again, on the part of the government. But I'd like to ask, help us understand why certain voices, minority perhaps they may seem, still get listened to or produce certain results or impact on the public. For example, anti-vaxxers, the science clearly says vaccines work, diba? We have the data over the years, over generations, showing that vaccines work. Pero pag may isang susulpot na doktor na sabihin, well, it can do more harm than good, and given a platform by certain members of media, well, bakit sa tingin nyo nandun pa rin yung parang proclivity of certain sectors to listen and even believe?
Kasi Christian, talagang fertile ground yung mga iba for anti-vaxxer messages such as this. There are still a lot of people who have doubts, or maybe not doubts, but outright refusal to believe that vaccines work. So that is the fertile ground on which the anti-vaxxers plant their messages. When they're given a lot of leeway as far as publication, as far as airtime or TV time, this aggravates the situation. But I understand that media cannot just say, I don't want you to appear in my program, because there's such a thing as equal time. So perhaps what can be done is whenever there is an anti-vaxxer that appears, they must get somebody.
Actually, Secretary Cabral, I'd like to butt in that point. Media can say right away, you cannot be interviewed. You're not supposed to be interviewed, because you're spreading lies and that would cost lives.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah.
Kasi ito yung dapat siguro maintindihan at the risk of editorializing here. Baka sabihin ng iba, ba't ikaw na nagsasalita dyan? Hindi man ikaw interviewee. There's such a thing as false balance. Yun yung dapat maintindihan. Hindi porque may nagsalita someone who promotes vaccines like yourself, kailangan merong anti-vaxxer na kakausapin and given ample time. We have to base on data, base things or discussions on data, hard evidence and science. Kasi nga, may buhay na pwedeng maapektuhan, di ba? Imagine, nakikinig sa atin ngayon, for instance, pag sinabi natin, vaccines won't work, edi magtatakbuhan yan. And ang problema, you're not just looking after yourself. Your refusal to be vaccinated would affect other people. Again, I'm sorry for saying those things. I'm sorry for taking your time.
I'm glad that you said that, and I hope that other people in media will take the same position.
Okay, see, Dr. Tony, you're saying something.
Well, inaral ko yan, Christian, kung bakit nagkakaganon. And I agree with Secretary Cabral. There are three reasons kung bakit nag-proliferate ito. In the US, inaral ko, bakit despite their level of education, meron talagang ganito. So, ang una niyan is ineptitude. Knowledge exists, but they fail to apply it correctly. May ganun. And then may certain group na ayaw magpabakuna, yung mga Republicans, yung mga minority group, yung mga nasa southern border ng United States, yun ang problema. So that boils down all again to lack of education naman yung part na yun. So ang nakikita natin ngayon, dapat yung medical community and civil society should step up right now to help the government kasi merong organized movement eh. Ang akala ko, Philippine-based lang eh. Kaya minsan nagbabiral siya because the entire global group nito eh sumusunod din to influence the vaccination program of the country. At ang panghuli...
Dr. Tony, Dr. Tony, yeah. Ang gusto ko kasi maintindihan at pag-usapan dito sa programa, there are certain sectors who might be inclined not to trust vaccines. But as you mentioned, that's a function of lack of sufficient information. You can forgive that, diba? You can understand that. And that can be cured or addressed by providing them with the right information and hopefully convince them. Diba? Case in point yung measles. Diba? So we can cite that example. Pero what I'd like to understand is why certain people supposedly educated, supposedly responsible, supposedly knowledgeable about science, about health, about medicine, still promote this.
Well, ang tingin ko dyan is the values eh. At saka yung level of understanding or experiences eh, that would affect your level of understanding. For example, bigyan ko itang example. Meron ako mga natanong na ganyan. Well, narinig ko kasi sa mga family members ko, nagkaroon ako ng side effect. Eh, hindi na-explain masyado. So, ganun. So, you tend to listen to people na hindi ang level of education on the vaccines. Yun ang natatanungan mo. And then, nagpo-proliferate. Kaya, nung inaaral ko to, dapat ang nag-i-step up right now, yung mga taong may higher, talaga mga medical, ang laki daw ng percentage if the medical leaders would step up at ipakikita. That's the reason why yung mga nakikita ko ngayon in the next few weeks, no, I think there will be a movement right now for the medical community to educate the public. Kasi we cannot just be sitting down right now when the anti-vaccine movement is actually growing and trying to penetrate the mainstream media. That will affect, of course, the vaccination program. Eh, nagkaroon ng hiatus and hibernation eh, ang medical community. Kung makikita mo, because hindi kami nakakapag-meeting, nagsulputan ng maraming organization. Nandyan yung HPAC, and then kami, Kill COVID. Kasi we feel the need right now to increase right now the ante for communication. Hindi lang yung aming mga organized na medical institution. Kailangan broad-based eh. Kasi marami kang e-explainan at hindi na lahat naman makukover yan ng medical community. So ang kailangan natin is a coalition of stakeholders eh, na naging effective ah, during the time namin ng Secretary Cabral, yung stakeholders dumami. Nagkaroon kami ng syntax coalition and every time na meron kaming advocacy, nabubuhay siya. So ngayon, wala tayong coalition right now on vaccination and public health. And perhaps dapat i-rekindle uli ito so that we fight another battle. And this time is actually the vaccination to end the pandemic.
Okay, so okay. That's a good point to be able to address that issue in concrete terms. But I'd like to ask Secretary Cabral, para kayong doctor ni Dr. Tony Lechon, pero help us understand why some, if not many, of your own colleagues still promote certain anti-vaccine sentiments. And in fact, supposedly, hindi na ito dapat debatable. We understand that there are certain areas in science that remain debatable. Diba? For example, how to manage specific cases, specific patients. Pero we thought when you talk about vaccines, the debate is pretty much settled already. So how do you look at colleagues promoting those anti-vaccine sentiments?
Well, palagay ko, miski na sa medical community, you cannot get 100% cooperation and 100% the same opinion on something. Pwede dyan na merong isang bagay na kung 100 kayo, ang 99% of you think na aso yun. Pero merong isa sa inyo na magsasabi na hindi pusa yan. So, wala tayong magagawa doon. he will or she will have a different interpretation of the data that is presented. What the public needs to do is go with the weight of the evidence and go with the number of respectable and credible scientists and what they are saying. Sometimes they will still be wrong, but most of the time they will not.
Okay, but they agree that somehow this anti-vax movement here in the Philippines, kung totoo mang meron ng movement, is actually affecting or serious enough to compromise the national vaccination program of the government specific to COVID-19?
I think we should assume that it will have an effect big enough to compromise the vaccine program. I think we should not be complacent about this thing, and we should do everything in order to convince people that they should get themselves vaccinated. We cannot work on the presumption that, oh, that's just a small group, it's not going to affect our program, because it might. So it's better to assume that it will rather than not.
Okay, they agree, Dr. Liachon. And what else can be done? Or baka naman dumating yung certain point na naging complacent na siguro yung ilang health professionals because they were focused on what they thought were much bigger things or much more important things during the pandemic. And here you have this threat coming from certain people promoting an advocacy against vaccines.
Alam mo, Christian, nakita ko, tama si Doktora, na diverse kasi naman ang opinion mo eh. But there's a minority group na talagang ganyan in any organization. Meron talagang mga oppositors, hindi mo alam kung saan ang gagaling. Pero I think ang malaking bagay dito, Christian, is the social media. Kasi sa social media, you can post anything. Tapos yung mga laypersons, hindi na iintindihan on how to examine yung evidence-based medicine. Or kahit nga evidensya, pwede itweak yan in the direction of their advantage. Yan ang usan ko nakita. And ngayon, liberal ngayon eh. And then with the millennials also, embracing a lot of things, medical adventurism. So it's about time din na talaga mag-step up ang medical community to educate this particular group of people. Ang pangalawa is the conflict of interest. Dati hindi ko malaman kung may connect eh. Pero na-establish ko na yan by looking at some of the YouTube as well as some of their conventions eh. Na they're trying to be anti-vax but they're promoting another product. So
which
yun pala,
is what?
Nakita ko they're promoting ivermectin. So in
the, it's the same group?
It's the same group. It's the same group na nagpo-promote. And then meron pa silang business nagpe-prescribe niyan even off-label. So dati, akala ko, hiwala yung anti-vax, hiwala yung ivermectin. Iisang grupo pala to. So when you malign the vaccine and try to promote a certain product, that's COI, a clear conflict of interest. And when the business interest would actually be above the health interest of the public and the public good, dapat lahat tayo should raise in arms right now to oppose this. Because kung hindi natin ma-realize at hindi tayo mababakunahan, we will never end this pandemic and we will be this part in a hole for a long time. So dapat yun na maintindihan ng mga kababayan natin. Ayun na isa dun.
Okay. As a final point, I'd like Secretary Cabral to take this opportunity to educate the public, our viewers, regarding what a very important point that Dr. Liachon mentioned. Let's take this opportunity to educate the public. Bakit naman ganun? Assuming that's true, that the same group which is campaigning against vaccines is also promoting ivermectin. Bakit ganun? You have vaccines proven to work, and then you have an unproven antiparasitic drug for COVID-19 being promoted. Okay, pakipaliwanag na kung bakit mali yun.
Kasi nangingibabaw yung business interest doon sa interest ng public tungkol dito. So kasi sasabihin lang, huwag ka na lang magpabakuna. Inumin mo na lang itong ivermectin at ikaw ay mas mabuti pa ang mangyayari sa iyo. So ibig sabihin nun, bilhin mo yung ivermectin, Kasi meron silang interest, business interest dun sa gamot na yon. If they take the vaccine at sabihin na they're more confident na hindi na nila kailangan ng ibang gamot, edi walang bibili ng ivermectin.
Simple as that. Well, thank you very much, former Health Secretary Esperanza Cabral and Dr. Tony Lechon for joining us this evening. I hope this episode somehow provided some enlightenment, especially during these precarious times that we're still under a pandemic. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Christian.
Thank you very much, Christian. And thank you very much, Secretary.
Okay.
Thank you too, Tony.
Okay, and before we go, Secretary Francisco Duque III's emotional rant during Tuesday's House hearing becomes the internet's new favorite meme. Some netizens say the scene could be something out of entertainment talk show The Buzz or drama anthology show Maala Ala Mo Kaya. Another meme says, one, should never ask a woman her age, a man his salary, and Secretary Duque, the whereabouts of 67 billion pesos in COVID funds, flagged by COA. But aside from the funny posts, one user also offered some tough love for the embattled secretary, telling Duque that if he cannot take the heat, he should get out of the kitchen. So that's it for tonight's episode. This has been your host, Christian Esguerra. You can watch this episode again on iWantTFC or listen to our podcast on Spotify. Now for recaps and other exclusive content, subscribe to the ANC YouTube channel and catch up with us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. See you again tomorrow after the fact.